Good morning. It's a pleasure to be back here this morning with you. This morning our text is taken from Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 through 28. That's Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 through 28. This is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And this morning as I open up the word, I would just ask that you try to listen to the text and read the text with new eyes and new ears. And try to listen for things that perhaps you've never heard before. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 28. Hear now God's holy word. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever." All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, an injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that this is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at daybreak the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they and their children and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones and pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples and nations that dwell on the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let us ask the Lord to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this morning you've given to us, and we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to come together as a community of your people to worship you. Lord, some of us this morning have come with heavy burdens on our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take those burdens from us, that you would help us to focus completely on you. And Lord, in particular, I ask that you would guide my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think most of you know that I graduated from RPTS in June of 2016. And one of my classmates that I had gone to seminary with, he is from a closed country in East Asia. And I can't tell you what that country is because his safety is certainly at risk. But he lives in a closed country. And after graduation, he went back to that closed country where he went on to preach the gospel in underground churches. These underground churches meet in the homes of the members, and it's a time of worship. But shortly after my graduation, I learned that this friend of mine had been preaching the gospel in a house church. When the police evidently had found out about it, they burst through the door, they arrested him and forcibly took him to the station where they beat him over the head 10 times with a blunt object. Many of us were heartbroken when we heard what had happened. Thankfully, my friend was able to walk away from that experience with his life. But many Christians in that country are killed every day for their faith in Jesus Christ. They suffer every day for their faith in Christ. Most of us here this morning have not suffered in that same way. We may not have suffered physically for a faith in Christ, but I think all of us have had experiences in our life where we've maybe been under persecution or had gone through a time of suffering for our faith in Christ. Perhaps it has happened at work. Perhaps it's happened within the context of your extended family. But I think all of us know what it feels like to be ridiculed or belittled or put down for your faith in Christ. I know I've had instances in life, in jobs, where people haven't taken me seriously because they know I'm a Christian, and they think that I was either naive or that I just, you know, wasn't smart, or I was indoctrinated, and in many ways I felt like I didn't fit in with that particular group of people because of my faith in Christ. I think each of us probably can recognize the way that we see the world persecuting God's people today. Television, radio, books, the internet are constantly promoting the ways of the world, and it often mocks and ridicules God's people. I think it was about a month ago I heard on the radio that one of the hosts from the famous NBC television show The View was making fun of Vice President Pence because he was a Christian. And she actually went as far as to say that his Christian faith was an act of mental illness. So that on public television. And so some of you may have had similar experiences. Some of you may have been mocked or ridiculed for your faith. Well, friends, there's nothing new under the sun. And as we look at redemptive history, we can see the many ways that God's people have suffered for their faith. For instance, the first instance in the scripture where we see a believer suffering at the hands of the wicked is when Abel is ruthlessly murdered by his brother Cain. Later on, we see the entire nation of Israel in captivity, and that's actually the context of our text this morning. The Israelite people are in captivity in Babylon. But these are just some instances from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see the apostles of Jesus suffering. We see John the Baptist beheaded. Stephen is stoned to death. The apostle Paul is imprisoned a number of times before he's ultimately put to death. But in the scriptures, God promises that he will have the final victory. In fact, the victory has already been won. All of the suffering and hardships that we face in this life are mere shadows when we look at the way that Christ suffered for us. Christ took upon himself our sin so that we could be saved. Friends, we know the end of the story. We know that Christ will ultimately rescue and bring about justice for his people. And so when you find yourself under the persecution of the wicked, remember that Christ will save his covenant people. When you find yourself suffering under the persecution of the wicked, remember that Christ will save his covenant people. This morning, in our narrative, we see the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And this is a well-known story from the Bible. I know that I remember hearing about it in Sunday school as a little boy. I remember reading it in children's books with my mom as a child. And in the story, we see the people of Israel suffering in the Babylonian captivity. Something we often don't think about is Daniel was also in captivity. But by God's grace, he has won the favor of King Darius, and he's been elevated to this position of authority in the kingdom. But the satraps, or Daniel's co-workers, if you will, they don't like him because he was upright and righteous. They also don't like him because he was an Israelite and he's been placed in this position of authority. And so they've devised a plot to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den. They knew that these were hungry beasts. They didn't want to scare Daniel. They didn't want to imprison him. They wanted to take Daniel's life. You see, Daniel knew and understood very well that the life of a believer is often filled with hardship and suffering. Daniel knew very well what it meant to have your closest friends turn against you. And friends, there may have been times where that's been your experience. You may have felt the pain, the sting of having one of your closest friends turn against you. See, if you're a believer, the wicked will rise up against you. It comes with the territory. See, the Christian life isn't easy. It's often filled with heartache and suffering. The wicked often rise up against God's people because they hate us. They hate the church. But they hate us really because they hate Jesus Christ, the one that we serve. But how are some of the ways that unbelievers rise up against us? Well, one of those ways is by devising plots against us. And that's what we see in our text this morning. See, as we look at our passage in Daniel, we see the servant Daniel, the servant of the Most High God, faithfully serving his heavenly Father with obedience and faithfulness. And yet unbelievers, these satraps, turn against him. And they devise a plot that they believe will lead to his death. See, they convince King Darius to enact this edict or this law that would make it illegal for anyone for 30 days to pray to anyone except to King Darius. And they did this because they knew that Daniel would never pray to anyone except the living and the true God. And so they caught Daniel in an act of prayer, and they ultimately had him thrown into the lion's den. The wicked hated Daniel, and so they devised plots that they hoped would lead to his death. But what are some ways that Christians have suffered today at the hands of the unrighteous? Well, I remember a number of years ago when I was living in Seattle, I heard the story of a Christian couple in the United Kingdom that had a bed and breakfast for about 20 years. They were Christians. The bed and breakfast was in their home. And as Christians, they ran their business by Christian principles. And this was never a problem for 20 years. But they had a policy that because it was their home and because they were Christians, they were very careful. They were very careful about who they invited into their home to stay. And one of the ways that they were careful about that is any single individual could come and stay. But if it was a couple, if it were two people requesting a room with a double bed, they had to be married. They just simply said, are you married? And if the answer was yes, you know, they didn't require a marriage license or anything, but they just said, are you married? And if the couple said yes, then that was good enough, they could stay. But a couple of years ago, there were two individuals that had a history of suing Christian businesses. They went and asked to stay. They were not married. And when the couple told them that they weren't able to give them a double bed, they could stay in separate rooms, but they couldn't share a room. The Christian couple was ultimately sued, and they lost their business and their home. They lost their livelihood. You see, this couple, in following and playing out the truths taught in God's word, were persecuted for their faith. And ultimately, they lost their livelihood. But why do the unrighteous rise up against God's people? Why do they seem to sometimes do things to see us fall? Well, they do this because they have rejected the truth that we share with them. When we look at the context of our passage this morning, we see Daniel, who had proven himself to be an honorable and upright servant in the kingdom. And as such, he'd been elevated to a position of authority and responsibility. Now, Daniel verbally spoke the truth to those around him, but he also spoke the truth to those around him through his actions, through his witness. I'm sure you all have heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. Well, Daniel proclaimed the truth to those around him by his actions, by his righteousness. He declared the truth by refusing to worship anyone but the living and the true God, the God of Jacob. Daniel wasn't just putting up a good front. In verse 4 of our text, it actually says, "Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against him. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error was found in him." See, the satraps, they were looking for error or fault. They wanted to have him killed, but Daniel didn't give them any reason to dislike him. He didn't give them any reason for them to hate him. They were offended by the truth of God's word. They rejected it. They rejected God. They rejected Christ. They rejected the truth of his word. But what are some other ways that the wicked can rise up against us? Well, sometimes they gossip about us. Sometimes they slander our names. Sometimes they try to blemish our reputations. Sometimes they say mean and hurtful things to us. But you see, if you're a believer in Christ, this is to be expected. The prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, Jesus Christ, was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, Jesus Christ was also despised, rejected, and he was persecuted. Men plotted against him because they hated the truth that he spoke. And as we suffer, as we're persecuted for our faith in Christ, we share in Christ's suffering. See, Christ is a Savior that understands in a very real way exactly what we are going through. But Christ will not allow this persecution to go on forever. For one day, Christ will rise up against the wicked. And he will rise up against the wicked because they have rejected his truth and because they have persecuted his people. See, when men and women rise up against God's people, when they rise up against the church, they're ultimately rising up against Christ himself. And so in due time, Christ will rise up against the wicked by thwarting their plans. He will rise up against the wicked by thwarting their plans. Let's look again at verse 22. "My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." So Daniel, he's been cast into this den of lions, and the lions were just waiting to pounce upon him. But God sent his angel to shut their powerful jaws. You may remember that at the very beginning, before I read the text, I asked you to try to hear this text and to read it with new ears and new eyes. And the reason I asked that was because when I was in elementary school, I can remember my Sunday school teacher painting this beautiful picture of these very tame and beautiful and gentle lions. In fact, some of the children's books that we read, I can actually remember one in particular where Daniel's in the lion's den, and there's these wonderful lions just sort of laying around him. I think one had its head on his lap. They were like house cats. You need to get this image out of your mind. This image is false. These were not common house cats. They were not tame. These were not friendly cats. They didn't have names like Snowball or Fluffy or Hairball. These were hungry, carnivorous beasts. These beasts were not fasting because they liked Daniel. They didn't tear him apart because their mouths were forcibly shut by the hand of God. They didn't rip him apart because God forcibly shut their mouths. And we know this because eventually when the satraps and their families were thrown into the tomb, they didn't even make it to the bottom of the den before the lions were ripping them apart. And we're not talking one or two people. We're talking entire families. That's what the text says. It says entire families were thrown into the tomb where the lions were ripping them apart, breaking all of their bones. These were hungry, vicious beasts, and they were forcibly restrained by the hand of God. One of my professors, when we studied this text in seminary, went as far as to say he thinks that when Daniel went down in the den, the lions were probably acting in an aggressive way. They might have even been snapping at him. But God sent his angel to go to Daniel and to shut the mouth of the lions. You see, in this instance, God rose up against the wicked by thwarting their plans. They'd intended great harm and evil for Daniel, but God intervened by rising against them and thwarting their plans. But God also rises up against the wicked by bringing just wrath and punishment against them. And we see that in verse 24. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones into pieces. In our text, we see the God of the universe executing justice through the civil magistrate, through the king. And God may not act in such an extreme way today, having someone thrown into a lion's den, but God certainly acts today, executes his justice through the office of the civil magistrate, and we see that every day in the court system. God has elevated certain men and women to a position of authority so that they can execute justice. They can bring about justice for those who have been harmed, and they can bring just consequences to those who have done harm. You see, God has risen up civil magistrates to their office so that they can keep justice in our fallen world. But the justice that is wrought by our civil magistrates today is just a shadow of what is to come. When Christ returns, our Lord will execute judgment upon all those who have rejected the truth and who have persecuted his people. He will bring about just judgment on all those who have persecuted his people, and they will suffer under his wrath for all eternity. Now, some of you might be thinking right now, okay, well, it's helpful to know that we will suffer, and it's helpful to know why these things happen, but how should I practically respond when I'm in a time of suffering or persecution? How should I respond when I'm waiting for the Lord to intervene? Because it hurts. It hurts when we are persecuted. Well, friends, you should remember that Christ has already saved you by rising up. Christ has already saved you by rising up. See, Christ has already saved each one of us by rising from the grave. As we look at our text this morning, we see Daniel placed in a pit and subjected to the great and powerful jaws of ferocious lions. And by God's grace, Daniel ascends from the lion's den. You see, Daniel is saved because the powerful jaws of the lion were conquered. They were forcibly shut. But this is a mere shadow of what Jesus Christ has done. You see, Christ, the perfect and holy Son of God, willingly took upon himself the powerful jaws of sin and death in submission to God the Father. He took upon himself the powerful jaws of sin and death for the Father ascending or descending into the grave. Now, throughout the scriptures, the image of the lion is often associated with sin. In fact, in Genesis 4:7, it says, the Lord said to Cain, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door. It's desirous for you, but you must rule over it." See, throughout church history, the image of sin crouching at the door was often associated with the lion, because a lion would crouch waiting for someone to pounce upon. And then in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, "Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And so when we think of the image of Daniel ascending, walking up from the pit, we must think of the Lord Jesus Christ conquering the powerful jaws of sin and death. But there's more to the story here. Daniel was not the only person saved in this story. Remember, the entire nation of Israel was in captivity in Babylon. Daniel was also in captivity. But he'd risen to a position of authority. He'd gained favor with the king. And he used his authority to provide for and to care for his people. But what do you think would have happened had Daniel died? Well, the Israelites may have also been killed, but at the very least, they would have suffered greatly without Daniel there to protect them. So you see, when the lions' mouths were forcibly shut, when Daniel ascended up from the pit, he wasn't the only one saved that day. So when we think of the image of Daniel being saved from the powerful jaws of the lions, we must think of Jesus Christ, who conquered the powerful jaws of sin and death to save a people for himself, to save each one of us. Jesus took upon himself the cup of the wrath of God, and he descended into the grave so that we could be saved. But then Jesus ascended from the grave. He rose from the grave, and he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. See, the very essence of death is an unnatural thing. When mankind was created, we were meant to live forever. But with the fall, it brought sin and death upon us. But Jesus Christ defeated death. Death no longer has any power over you, because you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And so, friends, when you find yourself suffering under the persecution of the wicked, you should remember a few things. First, remember this is to be expected. Again, the mark of a Christian is not an easy life, but rather it's a life of suffering and hardship. Jesus didn't say to us, he didn't say, "Follow me and your life will be easy." Jesus said, "If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me." Secondly, remember that Christ is faithful to save his people. And this doesn't necessarily mean that he'll remove us from the suffering that we're experiencing, but rather he'll remove us from the things that are not for our ultimate good. And friends, when you are persecuted, and believe me, you will be persecuted in this life for your faith, you must remember that Christ has already saved you. Jesus Christ took upon himself and defeated the powerful jaws of sin and death. And he brought us from a state of sin and misery to a state of salvation. Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us and reconciled us to God the Father. There's nothing that man can do to harm us. But in keeping to his promise, Jesus will protect you from his and your enemies for all eternity. And so, brothers and sisters, when you find yourself suffering under the persecution of the wicked, remember, Christ will save his covenant people. Christ will save his covenant people. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the way that it enlightens our eyes. Lord, there are certainly times in our lives when we feel rejected or ridiculed because of our faith in you. And Lord, we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us strength during these difficult times. Lord, we ask that you would use us to be a light to those around us. Lord, we ask that you would help us to season our words with salt, being a good witness to those around us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.